And grab your Bibles. Those of you on the internet, I know you're watching Jerry, Dan, Renee, and Brenda, and Mike. You're more than welcome to join us. And I got my phone number up there if you have any questions. I'm not going to teach nothing new tonight. I just want to...
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Oh, I have it.
Kind of what I want to do tonight is, Barry taught us for 8 months, and I want to do this kind of as a tribute to Barry tonight. Normally, he should be standing here, but he's asleep in Christ. Lucky bugger. So tonight, I thought what we'd do, I want to lay just a little basis. I want to just go over the timeline a little bit, just do the basics. I had a lady ask me on Facebook, she said, how do you witness to somebody? And I told her, I said, well, I've been, a good way to do it is to ask them if they would die right now, where would they go and why would they go there? And she said, well, she said, I kind of hesitate to do that because I'm afraid they'll think I'll pull a gun on them.
Sure.
But basically what we're used to dealing with is religious people, and we know they won't shoot us, so we won't shoot them. But I wore my shirt tonight in honor of Barry.
Aww.
There we go.
He always loved this shirt. So I wore that for him tonight, too. And I'm not much to look at. Sorry about that. But hopefully we can... But I want to start off with a verse that I think every Bible study should... Oh, another thing I wanted to say, too. This is my first time that I ever stood behind a pulpit and taught the gospel.
How about that?
I've been teaching, you know, I taught Sunday schools. I actually preached there, Russellville, a couple times. I never preached the gospel before. So I'm a little bit nervous tonight because the fact that I'm speaking from the Word, the inspired Word of God, that makes me a little nervous because of the message that's in there. And, a comfort to me was to find out that Jerry Sanders, every time he gets up, he's nervous too. So, but I'll see if I can teach tonight. What I want to do, of course, is the timeline, and the most important thing is the cross. And I want to read Galatians 1, verse 8. It says, but though we, or an angel from heaven... I'm sorry, I have to... I'm already there. Galatians 1, verse 8. And now what I want to do after I go across this is... Yeah, Rosita. Jerry said he wouldn't do that to me. what I want to do after I go through a little bit of this, I have a pop quiz. And what I want you all to do is, and I don't want you to feel stupid if you don't know where it is in the Bible, because that's the biggest thing I struggle with is I know the verse, but to put a number with it is terrible. I hated history in school. I hate numbers, remembering numbers. So I thought this would be a good challenge for us is, I'm going to ask you a question, then I want you to prove it out of the Bible. So anyway, let's read Galatians 1, verse 8. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And I thought about that as this being my first time that I preached the gospel. Pretty scary. Anyway, I'm going to draw the timeline. Anybody know where the law was given to Moses? I mean to Abraham.
No.
The law was given to Moses.
No, I mean the promise. I'm talking about the promise. I'm sorry.
Genesis 3.
Genesis 12, 1 through
3.
Okay. Somebody want to read that?
Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
That was where the promise was given to Abraham for the A, B, and C. Here's the A, and we have the blessers, and we got the cursers. In Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. How many years? from the beginning of time to that point, approximately?
2,500.
2,500, approximately. Now, from this point to this point, approximately how many years? From the time this promise was given to the cross.
Ezekiel says 2126 B.C.
It was...
So you're saying 2,100 years?
2,126 is what he said.
Okay.
But is there a difference? Are you wanting the one where it was from Moses to the cross? Is that what you're saying?
That's what it is. That's from what? Moses to the cross.
Yeah.
How many years was it from Moses to the cross? The time the law was given.
Oh, from Moses?
Yeah.
1,500?
1,500.
Yeah.
1,500.
Yeah. We'll go put 1,500 in here.
Yeah.
Okay, then we got Matthew through John, right here. And then we got Paul's conversion right here, Acts 9, the third Acts, 1/3% Acts. Then we got, is it too small, Carlton? Do I need to turn my marker bigger? Is it too small?
No.
Can you do that?
Yes.
Do I need the light?
No.
You need a wider marker is what you need.
Let me turn the marker that way.
Or a better camera, maybe.
Right here we have Paul's teaching, the grace dispensation for us today. Here we have the taking up. And then we have 7 years tribulation. In here. Then we have the second coming of Christ here. And then we have the 1,000-year reign here. Don't ask me anymore because I'm not sure about all the... Kurt and I talked about that a little bit Sunday. But that's the general timeline, and we're in this time right here, right now. Romans through Philemon. And I've been taught all my life that I'm here, too. But I'm not. I'm not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay. That's pretty well... That's one of the things that Barry said he drew out thousands and thousands of times. Just a simple thing to lay out to show people where we're at today. Right in here, the grace dispensation, right in here, Romans through Philemon. That's us today. Now, let's go to how to witness to somebody. I just got a few little things here. What's the most important thing a person should ought to know about themselves?
When you talk about good.
Okay, very good. Verse?
Romans 3.
That you're no good.
Romans 3:22. Kurt, you want to read Romans 3:10-12? And then also while you're in Romans 3, read verse 22 and 23.
Ecclesiastes 7:29.
Yeah, the one that I was also thinking about is somebody get Jeremiah 17:9. Okay, Kirk, go ahead.
What do you want?
Read Romans 3:10-12, and then verse 23.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yeah, that's what I want. So is there anything in there that says that there's none good be talking just about before they were saved? That's what I was taught all my life. You're no good before you're saved, but after you're saved, then you work to be good.
Yeah.
That's wrong. That says there is none good. There's none that even seeks after God. Mm-hmm. I remember when I told Barry, you know, when we first talked about how we were so open to the truth here, I said, well, I said, evidently we got it because we were seeking.
Yeah.
And he goes, nope. Romans 3, whatever that verse is, verse 11 or
11.
He says, there's none that seeketh after God. I was like, okay. He said, basically, it was that we chose to believe when we heard the truth. That there's a choice. You have to make the choice. And I'll never forget the day that I discovered that I'm no good. Standing there in my living room all once, I was like, I'm no good.
It hits you right between the eyes.
Yeah, but you can think of it, you were open to the truth. You weren't necessarily seeking it.
True.
Yeah.
You were willing to receive it.
Yeah. I was willing. Yeah, it was a choice.
It's a free choice.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Free gift. I think you're right.
Yeah. It's like the example Barry gives, given that dollar. You choose to reach out and take that. Mm-hmm. It's a choice. So, Somebody read Jeremiah 17:9.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperate for riches. Who can know it?
You know, even at the time when I was trying to be good, my heart was still deceitful. I had people fooled. Or so I thought.
Yeah.
But that's the verse there says that our heart is deceitful. It's deceitful, bubble, and desperately wicked. That's us. That's me. I'm still in sin. I wished I'd be perfect. I wished I wouldn't sin. Because my relationships would be a lot better. I wouldn't hurt people. I wouldn't. You know, the list goes on. If I could be perfect, I would, but it's not going to happen. Okay, Galatians 3:22. Somebody want to read that?
But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe.
So there's nobody exempt from that. The word all means all. It doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean just Gentiles. It means all. Everyone in the whole world. The 6 billion people approximately in the world today are all under sin. There's no one has... it's all. All means all.
And it's by faith of Jesus Christ, Amen. Not in Jesus Christ. Not in you.
That's right. It's His faith that made that that we can have... live and be saved. Okay. So we have concluded that everyone is under sin. We're no good. We don't seek after God. And we're all deceitful. That's a good thing to show a person now. The next step I would do is show them that Christ died for all my sins. Mm-hmm. Somebody read 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. These are some of my favorite verses. They're the best verses in the Bible, actually, for me.
It's all good.
It's all good, but these are just good. These are gooder.
They're gooder. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4.
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
The most beautiful thing about this is the word are. It's not maybe, will be, someday. It says we are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It doesn't say anything about the sins we're confessing. Mm-hmm. He died for everyone you have done and everyone you're going to do. Mm-hmm. They're all gone. Amen. They are gone. And praise God for that.
Amen.
Colossians 2. Roxy, you want to read this one?
Colossians 2.
Verse 13 to 14.
And ye being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross.
There we have that word all again, all trespasses. You know, I think some of the hardest, probably the hardest thing for most people, or some people, could I say, the reason some people reject the gospel is because of who it's to. When you think about Adolf Hitler, he had the same gospel opportunity that you and I have. Mm-hmm. When you think about the person who maybe abused you physically, sexually, verbally, it's hard.
Yeah.
When you know by this that all our trespasses are forgiven, that person too. That person who caused you intense pain that goes with you for a lifetime. My personal experience is having a father who didn't really believe in me. But that very gospel's for him too.
Yeah.
You know, he can say he's sorry all he wants, but there's still that pain that's there. But it's forgiven. It's forgiven for him. It's forgiven for me. It'll just blow your mind that it's for everyone. The worst person you can think of, it's for him or her. The whore out on the street. You know, we automatically think they're terrible people, but I'm no better than them. My sins are no different, really.
Sin is sin.
Sin is sin, great. Okay, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Lisa, M, you want to get that one?
2 Corinthians what?
5, verse 21.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
My Jesus became my sin.
Yeah.
When he took of the drink of that cup in the garden, he drank me. He drank every one of you. Those of you in the internet, he drank for you too. And he died on that cross. He went to hell 3 days for you. Took your sins there.
Where's that scripture from? Psalms?
Where is the scripture? Somebody help me out on that.
Psalms 22.
Psalms 22?
I know. He went to hell 3 days. You know,
where he went to hell for 3 days?
People don't realize that. We all know Psalms 23, so the chapter before that, Psalms 23.
I'm not good. This is one reason I want to do what I'm doing tonight is to get something. To get these scriptures in my head.
Talks about
3 days and 3 nights. Where's that verse? Is there a specific verse in Psalm 22 that says it?
That just talks about his
My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Mm-hmm. Acts 2.
Acts 2.
27 and 31, verse 31.
Psalm 16:10 says, for thou must not leave my soul in
hell. There you go.
Acts 2.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, 3 days.
What same verse that's in Acts 2:27?
You know, we think about 3 days not being that long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's Psalm 16:10.
But put yourself in one of the hottest days you've ever lived. Lay in the sun in an Arizona desert, that's mild. That is mild compared to what Jesus did for me. Just so that I don't have to go there, but I need to trust that He did that for me. Okay, now, when a person receives Christ, when a person trusts in the finished work of the cross, is there anything involved? I mean, as far as works, is there any works involved?
No.
Any verses to prove that?
I have a good one.
This is a little bit of the pop.
Galatians 5, verse 4.
This is part of the pop quiz coming up now. Galatians 5, verse 4. So what are you going to do when somebody tells you that, oh yeah, I got to work for it from now on? You guys got verses ready for them?
I have Galatians 5, verse 4. I mean, that is a verse that convinced me. Gary showed me that verse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
you want to read it?
Convinced me.
Go ahead and read it.
It says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, that are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. I mean, that's scared that they don't come.
Yeah.
When you and trust, I thought about it, that if I feel like I have to be justified by the law,
mm-hmm.
by ordinances, by whatever you want to call it, traditions,
mm-hmm.
ye are fallen from grace. Now that's not funny.
No, it's not. What did the law do?
Shut up, serious.
Yeah, showed people what they were. Did anybody ever keep it?
Nope.
No.
Nope. Not just man
upon the face of the earth. Any other verses? Lisa, you said one.
Ephesians
2:8-9. I bet you couldn't recite it by memory.
Yeah,
go for it.
No, I'm not going to blank.
I've got it right here. For by grace?
For grace you're saved through faith.
That
not of yourself is a gift of God, not of works that man expects.
Very clear. It's not a work. And why? We all know what it was like. I'm a little better than you because I don't do this, or it gives us boasting ground. It's clear. It's not of works.
It draws attention to yourself.
Yeah, it puts attention on us rather than this, the cross. This is where it goes back to every time. It has to happen. You know, I always appreciated something about Barry. He could be some of the deepest subjects, but you know what? That always came up.
Yeah.
Every time. He never taught a Bible study without preaching the cross. Any other verses?
Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Do you not hear the law? Mm-hmm. Another verse says something about if we try to go back, don't you hear the law?
As in verse that is in Galatians 4:21.
Read it.
It says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not fear the law?
Yeah.
I'm telling you folks, let go. You've got to let go. There is nothing in this whole wide world that you can do that can impress God. Mm-hmm. He has done it for you. Just let it go. Mm-hmm. You have to let go. Because it's not a work. Now, Wayne Bullard says Romans 6:6. Let's read Romans 6:6. Man, I got a bigger audience than I like. That internet there thing, I'm telling you, makes me nervous.
Nah. It's all right.
You're doing great.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin.
Amen.
And what did sin? What did the law do? The law identifies sin.
That's right.
And we're freed from that.
Amen.
Amen, wow. Wayne. Thank you for that. Okay, now that we are saved, that we trust, what's the awesome thing about that?
Oh, my
sealed.
Amen. Verses.
Oh,
I just had a conversation with a guy on Facebook about that. Well, can you unseal by not believing?
Yeah,
what does the Bible say?
Oh, yeah.
What does the Bible say?
Ephesians 1:13-14.
Martin, you want to read Ephesians 1:13-14?
Shall.
This is like I like to tell it. When you think of sealing, think of those vacuum bags that you put in the freezer. You put your food in, sucks all the air out, heat seals it. There is nothing. There is no scissors in this whole wide world sharp enough to cut that seal. There is nothing more powerful than the Holy Spirit that seals you.
Amen.
If it could, it wouldn't be God.
Where's that one verse that says...
Just hold on, Margie.
That says about that he cannot deny himself.
Mm. 2 Timothy 2.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 2.
Okay, Margie, go ahead and read yours.
Yes. 13:14.
Ephesians.
In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the perfect possession unto the praise of his glory.
What's earnest?
Guaranteed.
Did you ever give earnest money for something? When I bought my place, I gave him some earnest money. What did that do? That guaranteed that I'm coming back with the rest. And if I didn't, he kept it. But I came back with it, thankfully. I want to point something out. And in doing this, I want to give you my testimony. And some of you have heard this. In January, I came to the realization that I was no good. It was actually a pretty big relief.
Amen.
Because I thought I had it. Mm-hmm. You know, most of you know me. You know what I was.
Yeah. Self-righteous.
Yeah. But when I came to the realization, I could never figure out why there were certain things I could not quit doing. And I fought with this and fought with this and fought with this. And finally, when I came to the realization there is none that doeth good, no, not one, it was the biggest relief that I can ever describe.
I know that feeling.
It wasn't until June, sitting right where Roxy is in probably the same chair, the big black chair, sitting right there. In June, it was either the 21st or the 28th. All at once I realized I wasn't trusting God on it. And Kurt, you some of you, what's amazing is you noticed it with what came out of my mouth. You and Carlton both said something. Listen to verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Folks, it's not good enough to just believe.
Amen. You have to trust.
You have to trust. Mm-hmm. Because if you just believe it and don't trust it, you've still got your finger in it trying to do something about it. Mm-hmm. There is thousands, thousands, and thousands of people that believe in Jesus Christ that are going to bust hell wide open.
They don't trust.
Because they're not trusting.
Mm-hmm. They have to work it out in their own way.
And I'm telling you, I still have millions of programs that I've been for 37 years pounded in my head that I still struggle with every day. Satan likes to bring them up. I wish so bad somebody would come up with one of them staples buttons on my brain. That was easy. Delete them. I want them deleted. I want them out of there.
The renewing of the mind.
But you know what it does? It drives me back to Scripture when that comes up.
Yeah.
And you go back to a verse in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, mm-hmm. the gospel of your salvation, and I'm sealed.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. I can't.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing. Amazing.
And you couldn't get help even though you deserve to.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Jerry Jones had a reference here. Galatians 2:19-21. I'm not sure, but the bad thing about texting is you get it up and get a text and I get it. It could be a while back. Galatians 2:19-21.
Uh-huh.
For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Mm-hmm.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of, key word, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in me. You know, I was sitting there at the tobacco festival on Saturday, and I was watching people, and the peace that I had about my salvation, as I looked at all these other people who are, you know, I know some of them that are there are struggling, and the peace that I have, I look at people so different, even though they look weird, I'm no different.
Amen.
I'm not much to look at either, but thank God I'm saved.
Huh?
They probably look in the
dark. Yeah, they probably look weird today.
But I'm
looking.
Free.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 1, verse 22. My goodness, honey, I didn't even get into the thingamajob yet.
There's another one in there, Ephesians.
In Ephesians?
4:30.
Yeah, I got that one too. Mm-hmm. Want to read it?
Yeah.
I'm
that the Holy Spirit of God
whereby
you are sealed
with the day. Amen, Jerry. Go ahead, I read. I got disturbed by one of my...
Oh, I know which one.
You want me to read it again?
Yeah.
Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed with the day of redemption.
That's right. Until the day of redemption. It doesn't say just for a season until you confess again. No. We're sealed until the day of redemption.
Wow.
A new one that I just found, Rhoda and I just found, was 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That was a new one we just found the other day. And I was like, wow,
that's
there it is again. Okay. Pop quiz. I can act like a teacher now. Listen, I don't want anyone, if you don't know, don't feel stupid. Honestly, seriously. Because, you know why I'm doing it? I don't know. That's why I did it. When I sat down to study for this, I looked at all the verses that Barry pounded into us and said, get your pens out and mark them. I started looking through those verses like, what can I have tonight? I look at one verse and I'm like, oh my goodness, if I go down this road, I got an hour just doing that. I had no idea where to go. And then I thought, I'm just going to do the simple timeline. And because somebody asked me how you witness to somebody, get those verses grounded in here. Because trust me, carry a Bible with you at all times too. I got one in my truck. Not this one. This one here I can find stuff. From other Bibles I can't. Because I know how it looks in this. But I need to put them in my mind. Because if you just tell the person, oh, Titus so-and-so says this and this and this, they're going to say, yeah, whatever. You show them it, get them to read it. It'll make some people mad if you get them to read the verses. They don't like it. I did my own dad. He was not impressed. Jerry Jones says, you're always more thankful for where you are if you remember where you were.
Amen.
Very well said. Okay. These are going to be real random. There's no order because I didn't want you to go down this certain thought line. I'm just going to pop them at you. Wow, that's something totally. Why was the law given and where's the verse?
We're not God, though. I'm sorry.
Why was the law given? And can you prove it out of the Bible?
To show what sin is.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Where is it though?
That's exactly why it was given. To show man what they were.
Right. That's enough.
You guys on the internet, pop them. They might beat these guys. If you do that, I'll have to read them. This way, they'll have to read them. You're in the right book.
I know.
This is good brain therapy.
Romans 5, verse 20.
You got it. Romans 5, 20. Read it.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but for sin abounding, grace did much more abound.
Very good.
The law entered that the offense might abound.
That the offense might abound, yeah.
But there's another verse, too, that goes with that.
I don't have anything marked in mind. Romans 6, 14.
There's one that says exceeding sinful. Which one is that?
Well, there's one too that says the law is our schoolmaster.
Right. Yeah. Right. Which is, that's a good one. That isn't that in Corinthians?
Where's my Bible?
I'm looking in Galatians. I didn't mark it.
What verse did you read?
Huh?
Romans 5, what?
Verse 20.
20.
Yeah, that's...
No, I don't have...
Romans 5:20.
Yeah, I don't have anything in there either.
24 and 25.
Did you find it, Bob?
He found it. Read it,
what is it, Kurt? Because I want to put it here beside mine in my Bible.
Galatians 3:24 and 25.
Galatians 3:24 and 25. Read them.
Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under its schoolmaster.
Okay. In the period between the creation and where the law was given to Moses, was there sin? Did they know it? There was no law. And the law is what identified sin, did it not?
Yeah, that's true.
The only law was the
sacrifice.
But there was something about where Adam and Eve sinned, they knew something.
They knew the knowledge of good
and evil. They had the knowledge of good and evil. But the law, and I may be wrong, guys on the internet, help me, but there was no law for 2,500 years.
Did they, at the point of the flood, did they have a law at that time?
When?
When God destroyed the earth, the flood, was that law in place at that time?
Was there any law?
Was that law for Moses?
Everybody did what was right in their own eyes, and it was a mess.
The world was full of sin and exceedingly wicked.
But the
imagination of the heart.
Because there was no law, and that's why the law was introduced, so that people understand what they are.
Righteous man, though.
No.
He found grace.
Yeah, why was he righteous? Because he did the sacrifices.
That's what Mary said.
So they were still doing that sacrifice. Yeah. That's the only thing they were supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, next question. What is the state of the heart?
Desperately
wicked.
Desperately wicked.
We already covered that.
Back to that, what we were talking about, mm-hmm. in Romans 5:13, it says, For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law.
Right.
Okay. So there was actually sin there, but it wasn't imputed because there was no law.
Right.
But the next
That's
verse,
a good find.
The next verse, yeah. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even after them that had sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression.
That's a good verse.
Wow. See, they died.
So they still had the
ramification.
Yeah. The results of sin were there. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good find. Very good. Okay. Anybody have Jeremiah 17:9? We already read that one, but we can read it again. You got it, hon?
What was it?
Jeremiah 17:9.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Are you ready, son?
Who can know it?
I'm sorry. I was there, so I read it. I didn't know he said for her to read.
That's okay. Okay, next question. How many are under sin?
All
are under sin.
That's right. Verses.
Is that what we read earlier?
We read them earlier.
Okay, but I still don't remember where it was.
Romans 3:23. Yep, that's one of them.
For all have sinned. Where's the one? Scripture has concluded all under sin.
Galatians 2:22. Yeah.
But the scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe.
I'm not sure whose number. 334 is from Alabama, right?
Yeah.
Somebody text Romans 3:23. Somebody in Romans?
Oh, that's just...
We're all about sin and come short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, next one. Does God impute our sin?
Oh, my word. No.
No.
2 Corinthians 5:19.
To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
What is that?
2 Corinthians 5:19.
Any more?
Romans.
You got it, Rosita? What is it?
What verse?
What verse?
8. Well, it's actually, I love those verses. Romans 4:5-8.
Speak up loud to the people.
But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that is justified, that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And that takes back to Psalm 32.
How did that work? David committed a sin that was worthy of death. David saw a tiny, tiny glimpse of grace. Yes, he did. Because he should have been killed.
He was a man after God's own heart.
That was Romans 4:8.
4:5-8.
Mm-hmm. Okay, did Colossians 2:13 is another one. They say if you say something five times real fast, five times real slow, five times real fast, you get it in there, it's always there.
Colossians 2.
So say Colossians 2:13 and then read it. Mm-hmm. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your heart, of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, for having forgiven you all trespasses. Having forgiven you all trespasses. My sins were gone 2,000 years ago already. All taken care of. Now, we'll just...
In the whole imputing thing is Philemon verse 8.
Philemon verse 8?
Oh, yes.
I don't even have that written down yet.
Oh, yes. That's like Latin. And if he owes you anything, put it to my hand.
Verse 18?
Yep.
Philemon verse 18 says, If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Wow, that is great. In capital letters. In capital letters.
Exclamation mark.
They should have known how to do capital letters in the Bible.
Amen. Mine are kind of
the whole world is a part of the
Jesus. Yeah, sure.
It would be. We need to come out with the Grace translation.
I know.
No, it's no longer the case.
From Rome to even if it's large print.
You can't help but see it.
I'm telling you, my Bible looks awful in Ephesians, Colossians.
I tell you something. The thing that's the most valuable to me is all those verses that I wrote down. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is priceless. When he said, get that Bible pen out to be a good student, he meant it. Mm-hmm. And look, he always said, I'm teaching you guys to take over. Yeah. And little did we know how soon that would be. So I'd go crazy if I lose this Bible. Okay, shifting gears. What did Jesus tell his disciples to preach?
Disciples.
Let's go to the very, very, very beginning of it. When he sent them out.
Matthew 10, verse 5.
Is it Matthew 3?
Well, it's Matthew 10 also.
These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, if Jesus would command you to do something, you think you'd do it?
That's what Sam asked me. Brother Sam asked me that question.
Ask him about this verse.
I did. I said, it depends on who
Matthew
he's talking
10, verse
to.
5.
He wasn't talking to me for one thing, but if I was a Jew and he told me yes.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Jesus called you a dog, matter of fact.
Wow.
Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Those were a mixed breed, weren't they? Yeah. Samaritans. Enter ye not. He told them, do not even go there. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What did he preach? He told him the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
That is so plain.
The kingdom.
And that's in Matthew 4:17. And that's Penny Rob of what John had
My second question, and to whom were they sent?
The lost sheep of the house of Israel.
That's right. Okay. I'm going to skip that one because that's a little bit kind of. Well, no, let's go right on to it. How can you tell that Matthew through John wasn't written to us?
Because we're not part of the 12 tribes.
Really? You're not a Jew? You're not grafted in?
Even if I wasn't.
This is what I got nailed in. Oh, I'm grafted in. Any verses to prove it?
That we're not grafted in?
Mm-hmm. That we're not Jews. Period. Exclamation point.
Well, I'm not one of the 12 tribes. That's one reason.
The verse that I have is Matthew 15:18. No. That's the wrong one. Matthew 15:24. For he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I haven't blessed a Jew. I was done deal. What is it that defileth a man?
Well, that Paul was a Jew.
Yes, he was.
What comes out of his mouth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where is that?
It's not what goes in, it's what comes out. Yeah, where is it?
Where is that?
I know where it is. You know how I know? Like Brian Sykes says, because I wrote it down somewhere. What defileth a man?
His wife.
It does.
Where is it?
I'm going
to find it.
Matthew 15. What is it that defileth a man? Matthew 15. Yep.
Well, I was there.
Matthew There's
these
two.
These are the things which defile in man.
Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth in the heart and they defile me.
What verse?
18.
Matthew 15:18. There's another one that I was thinking about. And 11? Okay, that's the other one, yeah. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. I'm going to tell you something. Denominations, some denominations think you can tell who's saved by how they look. It's not true.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not true. That's the cool thing about grace. You never know. Just listen to what they say. Their testimony will tell you.
Absolutely.
Their testimony will tell you.
Barry says the town drunk could be saved.
That's right.
Saved one.
And you know what? When I want to be a little bit obnoxious to somebody in the business world, you know what I have to think about now? He may be my brother.
Yeah.
And how am I going to treat him? Think about it. There's no way you can tell unless you hear what they say. And you can soon tell what they trust in. Very quickly tell what they trust in. Okay. The coolest thing in the whole book, where is the mystery spoken of?
Romans 16:25.
That didn't take long. Romans 16:25. Kurt,
is that the first time? That's pretty far in. I think it's spoken of before then.
Now to him that is the power to send you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mysteries which was kept secret since the world began.
Amen. How long was it kept secret? Did you know it right here? In this part?
Nope.
No. Here?
Nope.
Here?
Nope.
Way back here?
Nope. Nope.
This is where?
Yep.
It was hidden God.
It was hidden God. Way back here. It was hidden God. And where was it revealed?
The Apostle Paul.
Acts 9.
Right there. Amen.
Pull that leg for you.
This leg?
That Bob on the sand.
This one? You just made my space small.
That's a little better.
Mm-hmm. Do you have glare issues? Is it the light?
No. Yeah.
Is that better?
Romans 11:25 says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in."
You know, when I was studying about the first part where we talked about how to witness to somebody, I was like, surely you got to bring the mystery in here somewhere. But not really. It does not take that exactly at that moment to explain to someone that they're lost, that they're no good.
You don't have to know a whole lot.
That's right.
Lost.
Right. Yeah, it's simple. When you get into teaching them, this is very important to show.
Yes.
So that's what I said. When I started to study this, I got overwhelmed real quick because I just did not. At every verse I looked at, I was like, oh my goodness, where am I going to go with that? Where am I going to stop? Where am I going to start? Renee says 1 Corinthians 2:7. Somebody want to read that for me?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that, Renee. Actually, 6-8.
Yeah.
Howbeit we seek wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that comes to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
It's very, very, very clear they didn't know it right here. Mm-hmm. Very clear. Like Barry always said, they'd have been up there in that cross if they'd have discovered that, given him CPR.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He couldn't even dare tell anybody. Mm-hmm. They didn't have texting and phones like we do now. At least I don't think they did. But you know how easy it is to text a message, hey, you know what? Don't kill
care
him.
About them?
Yeah, don't kill him. Mm-hmm. Nope, it was a mystery. And when something's a mystery, it's something you don't know yet.
I think one of the reasons it's important to point out the mystery, though, is because everybody's salvation today is in Matthew and
mm-hmm.
John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, you
point out that mm-hmm. it wasn't revealed until the Apostle Paul in Acts 9,
yep.
And then their salvation can't be in there.
Mm-hmm. It probably depends a lot on who you're talking
yeah.
to. as if the mystery has to come into the picture.
Yeah, most religious people.
You know that, and if you think about it, that's pretty much who we've been talking to is religious people. Mm-hmm. So the mystery has to be basically brought up right away. Mm-hmm. But some of them think they're pretty good.
Well, I know, but then you get those that counter, oh, the mystery was revealed to the apostles. I mean, that's a bunch of...
What did one guy say?
Says me first.
They're liars.
Yeah.
So...
Well, Ephesians 3 makes a little difference. Mm-hmm. It says, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's given me to you, or how this by revelation he made known unto me the mystery.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Or does it say me first?
Ephesians?
Is that Ephesians that says me first?
No. No, he's just talking about, like...
Where are you reading, Bob?
Ephesians 3:3-5. He said, which in other ages was not made known to the Son of God.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It just blows my mind the more I study this and the more I find, how in the world can anyone believe that Peter and Paul preach the same gospel? How can you believe that? I mean, just what you read, it's so clear. And it was given by revelation from Jesus Christ to him. There's nobody else knew it. Oh, no, that's you know, they didn't add anything to each other. Yeah, I guess too they didn't. Okay, next. Is there condemnation in Christ?
No. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk around the flesh and spirit. I have no idea what's up.
Romans 8:1.
I can quote verses that I can't tell you.
This is a verse that I use toward religious people who think they need to confess and repent. You cannot claim that verse. What brings you to repenting?
Yeah,
guilt. This verse can't apply to you. There's something different, friends. There's something different. Praise God for that freedom. Talk about freedom. Makes you that you can go and sleep.
Go sleep at night, yeah.
Exactly. Go sleep at night. You don't need to worry about it. Another question. Could Paul have been saved in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John?
No.
Why?
He was a blasphemer and a murderer.
Okay, you go. First to prove it.
First to prove it, I think.
See, I need to also know that he was a blasphemer. How you gonna prove that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's first of all find the verse where it says that that could not have happened in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
All manner of
He could have
been moving together, but
he could have been saved, because he was Jew, but he didn't believe until he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's why he didn't die when he blasphemed Stephen. Okay. But he could have been saved.
Well, let's.
No,
there's no way.
There's no way.
He was a blasphemer.
He was a blasphemer.
I know, but I'm just saying, just suppose.
Roxy, go ahead.
That's
it. Read it.
Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto him. 32 also, or just
31? That's all you need. Okay. So now where did that happen?
Stephen's death.
Acts 7. And another verse, where is the other verse where Paul actually said that's what he did?
1 Timothy 1:13.
You want to read it? That's the right one. Before you read that, I want to read the Acts 7 verse.
Yeah.
Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye which. Why am I reading way up here? It started 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly. This is Stephen. Whichever one it is.
We know.
But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's another whole subject I just heard about. And he said, and says, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him, and witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. So Paul was a part of that death. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost, so he blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Now, where did Paul admit that he's a blasphemer, Kurt? 1 Timothy 1, verse 13.
Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor of dangerous, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unworthily.
Very good. He was a blasphemer. So no, he could not have gotten saved. Even if he was a Jew, he couldn't have. I mean, he was a Jew. There's no way because...
I'm saying, just suppose he wouldn't have done all this stuff. He could have.
He could have, but he did, so he couldn't have.
I know.
Okay.
But he could have.
Now we're clear. As a Jew, he could have, yes, but not as a blasphemer. What is the will of God?
He would have died if he would have blasphemed later.
Yeah, if he had been full of Holy Ghost.
If he was a Jew, he would have died.
Someone has it.
First Timothy 2, turn to it, read it.
What is the will of God? And how is it done? That's one I didn't even add to that. How is it done? What is the will of God?
All men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
First Timothy 2:4. How is that accomplished? Well, where is that verse that says the preacher of the cross is a foolishness to them that are lost?
I just read it.
My brain's about going to nerve load.
Another thing is by Austin. How shall they believe unless they have a teacher? And how shall they teach unless they be sent?
Romans 10.
Is that Romans 10?
I don't know. Anyone find the verse about the foolishness of preaching?
I read it just now.
I'll search it here on my iPhone.
How do you know where? Romans 10:15. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. 1 Corinthians 1:18.
Is that it?
For the preaching of the cross is
necessary
to carry Jesus in front of us, but the saved is the power of God.
Oh, verse 21, too. Read verse 21, sir.
Go ahead.
Paul's commission.
1 Corinthians 1:18.
It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to keep them that believe in.
Now, I heard something today that's dangerous. This could get addictive.
Did you get...
Right, Jerry?
You were talking about Paul's conversion and then the preaching, but you didn't get Paul's commission in there. You need to get Paul's commission in there.
This is random, isn't it?
I know. But do you know what Paul's commission is?
It might come up later. You never know.
You know where Paul's...
It might come up later.
You know where Paul's commission is at?
I have a question on that. I didn't
I'll keep my finger here.
Yep. Okay, next one. Is all scripture for us today?
Yes.
Yes.
We're learning all scripture.
It's Timothy somewhere. I do know that.
2 Timothy 2:16-17. 3:16-17.
Oh, yeah.
That was supposed to be a tiny trick when you guys read it.
We just heard it. That's for sure.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, what about the ones before? There's a verse about that.
Huh?
There's a word aforetime in that verse?
Oh,
you had the right number.
Romans 15, verse 4.
Mm-hmm. Read it. Romans 15:4.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, and that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
They're all for us. So one thing we need to remember when we read, who is the speaker? Who's he talking to? What is he talking about? Mm-hmm. They're all for us, but they're not all directing it to us, except right here. Romans through Philemon. Those are directly to us. Does God always give what we ask?
No.
Really? I can prove there's a verse in the Bible that says he will.
John 14:13.
You want to read it? John 14:13-14.
In whatsoever you shall, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me with all and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Has that ever happened to y'all?
No.
Did it ever make sense before?
No.
You know, that's one thing Rhoda and I struggled. We asked for a child. Never happened. He said, I'll do it.
If you
ask anything in my name.
Anything. I will do it.
All you had, all you needed was a
little more faith.
No, a grain of mustard seed. That's all the faith they would have needed. Yeah.
That's what I asked one of these holy rollers, spirit-filled, acknowledging people, whatever you want to call them. I asked him, I said, what about that? Oh, you didn't have enough of faith. I said, really? Grain of mustard seed. That's all it takes.
Next teeny tiny.
Isn't that pretty clear that it's, he might have been talking to somebody else? Yeah. Now.
2 Corinthians 12:7-10.
Go ahead,
Margie.
Oh,
I'm on it.
Hello, girl.
You have it written in your Bible.
See, there's one of those benefits of writing it in.
My grace is sufficient.
Amen.
What is it?
Read verse 9 and 10.
9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen.
Verse 3, it says, though, eight, it says how he besought the Lord thrice.
Yeah.
Yes.
He asked him 3 times. Yeah. And maybe God, Jesus didn't hear it first time according to the other one, but no. This is a whole different dispensation. Things have changed. Is it important to study?
Mm-hmm. First Timothy, Second Timothy, 2:15.
Yeah, but see, there's a conflicting word in that verse. Somebody read it. And this is just something somebody told me, but I'll tell you. Somebody read it.
2 Timothy?
Yeah. 2:15. Carrie, you want to read it? Do you have it? You want to read it? 2 Timothy 2:15. I thought it was funny what the guy told me.
So you can set aside with the will of God and pretend that we not to be ashamed, rather dividing the word of truth.
And show us up approved unto God. Study is the first word. Yeah. Yes, it's very important. But guys say, well, that don't apply to you. It talks about a workman.
I don't understand what work is.
Right. I'm like, duh. I'm involved in the work.
Yeah.
Not work.
Yeah. Exactly.
Work. There's a work we are all involved in. Mm-hmm. If you're a saved person, you're involved in the work.
Oh my word.
Never someone thought local. About that.
Because you were talking about not having to.
Don't worry about
work.
This. Okay. It's not about works.
But it's about the work.
It's about the work, which is preaching the cross.
Yes, indeed.
I just giggled. I was like, whew, you just don't get it. Yeah.
What is a workman?
A workman?
One who does the work.
One who does the work.
You.
Me. Yeah, you. Me. Absolutely.
Anybody telling anybody about the gospel?
That's right. Yeah. The gospel
anybody
of Christ.
Anybody who's saved needs to be a workman.
That's right. Well, the time is, the days are coming to close real quick.
But this says shun profane and vain babblings. Now you guys need to start shunning some people.
I did.
No, you don't shun people, you shun
profane. It says shun.
Kirk.
You got a record over here.
You have to have a babbler to be babbling.
Yeah. Is John 3:16 our salvation verse?
No,
if not,
no.
What is?
John 1:15.
Why is it John 3:16?
Because that was before the cross. It can't be. That was actually.
But they're gonna say that and they don't know anything about it.
And so you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, but not
they believe in that.
I know, but it's not after the cross where the salvation factor came in.
Mm-hmm. There's another very, very important verse. It says, "For God so loved the world." No, I can't even. Is that how it goes? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Remember what I said about believing? That's one thing. Where is that verse that says, do not even the devils believe and tremble? So you're saying that if you believe that, the devils have eternal life? I don't think so. Plus, Jesus Christ wasn't even crucified at that point.
That's right.
He sent his Son.
But so many of them use that verse.
I see it on, you see it on semis, you see it on signs, it's just, this world's messed up.
They don't know.
They don't know.
They haven't believed who he was.
We put it on our Christmas
card, not the death.
Their salvation is believing he was the Son of God.
That's what it was.
We put it on our Christmas cards after hearing this, knowing full well, and Barry told us it wasn't, and we were stubborn, and we were like, yes it is, and we put it on there.
Oh, y'all did.
I was mad at him at that point.
Who's our apostle?
Hey, are you watching your dog?
Yes.
Is he one of the 12?
Nope.
1 Timothy 2:7.
1 Timothy 2:7. Want to read it?
Romans 11:13, Romans 15:16.
That's great. Read yours.
I got it back in my mind. I mean, the back of this page.
Yeah.
You have a photographic memory?
Where to? I'm ordained a preacher and apostle, a church of Christ in Lyman, a teacher of the Gentiles and faith and prayer.
Somebody read Romans 10:17. Romans 11:13. I was looking at the wrong one.
For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles.
I am the apostle. I mean, it's so clear.
Acts 9.
But why did we never see it? I never seen that. Never did.
Acts 9:15.
And it goes back to this thing of teaching again. Preaching. Now that we know, we got work. How does faith come?
By hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. Verse?
Romans 10:17.
You guys are doing pretty good on this quiz.
I just had a thought, baby.
What's that?
You know how you said we were seeking? You know. That's how you heard. It says here, it comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes.
Yeah. That's what Barry would have said if we chose to hear it, we chose to believe.
Well,
what
he
we
was
heard.
Teaching us the word of God to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Very true. John 3:13, but look at John 4:22. Wayne Bullard. Somebody look John 3:13.
John 3.
Yep, John 3:13.
John 3:13. What was the other one?
John 4:22.
I got that.
And 16.
John 4:22 is
You worship, you know not what.
John 3:13.
That's John 3:13.
You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.
Where's that?
That's John 4:22. Hmm. Interesting. Then John. Yeah. Thanks, Wayne.
John 3:13. Is that another one?
Yeah, John 3:13. Carrie read that. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
Well, that's what they were supposed to believe.
Yeah, that's what they were supposed to believe. Who requires a sign?
You require a sign.
Well, that was harmony. Can you guys sing it? 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom.
First Corinthians 14:22.
Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not.
Wow.
But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Boy, I heard a lot of messages. Well, I wasted a lot of my time yesterday Sunday listening to a guy seeking after knowledge. Are works involved with our salvation?
Yes.
Works.
It is no more of works.
Romans 11:6.
None effect.
That's amazing.
When you read those verses often enough, you know what? Anything to do with it.
How in the world did Barry stand up here all this time?
I know.
Are
we walk by
faith, not by faith? You're already going about a half hour over.
Oh, really? Wow. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work.
2 Timothy 1:9.
You know what? That's probably one of the biggest programs in my brain yet. It's unbelievable. But thank God I got free of working on it. Getting it deleted. Can we lose our salvation?
Nope.
Really?
Nope. You're still.
How would you want to lose it?
Yeah, no doubt. The amazing thing is, some people preach and teach that these marriages, they're sealed. You can't divorce, but they know that they don't believe their salvation is sealed. Doesn't make sense, does it? 1 Corinthians 15:2. What is amazing, though, is that when a person is blinded, let's go back to where we were. Now we can understand something. But which also ye are saved. It doesn't say may be saved. It says are saved.
Where does it say may be saved?
It doesn't say conditionally saved.
What's the verse in the Bible that says may be blotted out?
2 Timothy 2:19. What's 2 Timothy 2:19 say? Renee texts that one.
2:19.
Oh, it does?
Honey, did you take care of Doc?
Oh, yeah.
Did you take care of Doc?
2:47? Yeah. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Is she still here?
Not quite the same word.
Nope.
Okay. Are we complete in Christ?
Colossians 2:10.
And ye are complete in Him, which is head of all principality and power.
See if you can break one of those pills in half. I haven't tried yet.
Yep, Colossians 2:10. You guys are right.
In the back,
way
in the back, in that box.
By whose faith are we saved?
Galatians 2:16.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, I got a bonus question. One about Barry. Maybe the rest of you never caught this, but we always giggled about this one. Yes, you can. What Bible verse did he always read wrong?
Galatians
Hezekiah?
Nope.
There's a Bible verse that he always... It is so funny. He switched two words. It was so funny.
He
never thought about it, I don't think.
You guys never thought about it.
But
yeah,
it was so
I
funny.
It was in...
I wonder if anybody on the internet... Nope.
Like that guy said in his funeral, he gets so...
But every time, it was so funny, every time he read it, here, always. It's Mark 10, verse 18.
If once you sit and read it, I believe I'll remember that.
Yeah, read it quickly.
Yeah.
Should I read it like Barry did? Like, okay, this is
Mark 10, verse 18.
And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Anybody remember how Barry read it?
Me thou.
Me thou good.
Yeah.
He always read it, and Jesus said unto him, Why callest me thou good?
I'll never say that verse again.
I never thought about it.
That's too funny. Mark 10:18.
It's in Matthew.
Why?
Yeah, I think you would usually read that in Matthew.
Why callest
me? Why callest me thou good? Is what Barry used to say.
Well, and he was talking actually about like how that's a very good question that they got.
Matthew 19:17.
Like, how can he have eternal life, which is a very good question to ask.
Why callest thou me good? Why callest me thou good?
Uh-huh. I mean, you know, he's just so excited about reading. He just, why callest me thou good? 19:17.
Yes.
Yeah.
We love
that. Yes, he suffered. He never read in college, did he? Graduated.
Well, that's all I have. I want to make an announcement. I'm calling Obed tomorrow, and on Monday night we're planning to have Obed here.
If it suits him.
Did Grant and Dan know about tonight?
I do not know. I hadn't talked to them. But that's what we're planning for next Monday night.
Make sure they find
out. Yeah.